Well, welcome everybody to our service today. Those who are here in person at St. Andrew's and all of those who are watching online, wherever you are really welcome to be here as we come to celebrate the second Sunday in Advent. Heather, one of our readers, is going to be speaking to us later on, and she's going to be coming and speaking from a chapter, Isaiah chapter 7. But first, I thought we would just be still, and we'll begin by lighting our first two candles on our Advent wreath. And as we do, it's an invitation from Jesus to come and watch and wait and be still and slow down before him today. And I want to read a prayer from Katrina Crosby, which I've slightly tweaked in the last verse to make it socially distancing acceptable. And I want to just invite you, when I pause at the end of each verse, to, when I say into our waiting, to respond, come, Lord Jesus. So God, we come to you in our waiting. We wait with our fears, our anxieties and frustrations, our pains and regrets, our shame and confusion. God, help us to wait in peace. Into our waiting, come, Lord Jesus. We wait with impatience. We rush around, preparing for the festivities, not leaving the space to prepare our hearts. God, help us to wait in faith. Into our waiting, come, Lord Jesus. We wait in excitement. We're ready to celebrate. We know the story with its humbleness, simplicity, and wonder. God, help us to nurture our joy. Into our waiting, come, Lord Jesus. And we wait in thanksgiving. We are free and able to celebrate, even though we may be separated. We are able to wonder in the marvel of your gift. God, help us to receive your love. Into our waiting, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And we're going to listen to, and if you're at home, you can sing along to O Little Town of Bethlehem, as we just remind ourselves of the story that we're remembering and waiting for.
Gathered all above, while more.
Come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us, even in these difficult days. And so let us come to confess where we've not lived as God wanted us to live. Heavenly Father, you have created a universe of light. Forgive us when we return to darkness. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. Cleanse and heal our blinded sight. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Holy Spirit, you give us light in our hearts. Renew us in faith and love. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive us our sins. Open our eyes to God's truth. Strengthen us to do God's will. And give us the joy of his kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heather's going to come and read our scripture to us, and then can you reflect on that with us.
Isaiah chapter 7, and the chapter is headed The Sign of Emmanuel, and I'm going to read as far as verse 17. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, Go out, you and your son Sheer-Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smouldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, Let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the Lord, the sovereign Lord, says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I wonder how many times you've heard people say you shouldn't mix politics and religion. Archbishop Justin Welby took a lot of stick for a speech he made in 2018 in which he condemned zero-hours contracts and the gig economy as the return of an ancient evil, criticised the tax system and said that he dreamed of government putting charities such as food banks, night shelters and debt advice out of business. Back in the 1990s, Alastair Campbell told Tony Blair he shouldn't do God because it was a recipe for trouble. Well, a recipe for trouble it certainly can be now, as it was for Jesus and as it was for the Old Testament prophets too, because it challenges the ethos of those in positions of power and holds up human sins and follies to the scrutiny of God and his word, the Bible. As we heard in that rather perplexing Bible reading, Isaiah certainly didn't hold back from confronting King Ahaz with the word of the Lord. Justin Welby spoke on this story at New Wine Online this summer, and he described King Ahaz as a faithless and irresponsible wimp. The opening verses of chapter 7 describe how he panicked when the two kings, Rezin and Pekah, marched upon Jerusalem. His heart and the hearts of his people were shaken like forest trees in a strong wind, even though Rezin and Pekah were unable to overpower the city. Now Isaiah brings him further assurance from God, describing these attackers as nothing but two smouldering stubs of firewood. The Sovereign Lord's message to Ahaz is, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, and don't lose heart. And the punchline is, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Here, I believe, is the first message for us to take from this passage. We've faced all sorts of dangers and threats to our safety and peace of mind this year, and they aren't over yet. Be careful, keep calm, don't lose heart sounds like one of the Downing Street COVID press conference mantras. But as the months drag on, with the knowledge that longed-for Christmas freedoms may trigger fresh disasters in the new year, and with all the damage to the economy and individual financial security still unfolding, many people are losing heart. If you're one of those who have that heavy feeling of dragging dread, here is a message from God via Isaiah for you. Be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, and don't lose heart. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. What does it mean to stand firm in our faith? I think it means to lean all our weight on God's promises throughout the Bible. And it's said that there is one for every day of the year. Plus what we and other people have experienced of his faithfulness in the past. As an old hymn puts it, his love in times past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last. in trouble to sink. Our church's online Advent calendar of hope has a new personal faith story every day as different members of our churches describe their experience of God being there with them in difficult circumstances. If you haven't started opening it yet, don't waste time. Catch up and be blessed by it. You can find it on our church website and Facebook page, and I think also on YouTube and Twitter. Did you notice I just said they describe their experience of God being there with them? That brings us to the other words which leap off the page in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The prophecy of the birth of a baby whose name Emmanuel means God is with us. After Ahaz has refused God's gracious offer of a sign of his presence and help, Isaiah's and God's own patience are tried to the limit. But a sign is given in spite of Ahaz's stupidity, and it begins like this: the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. As with many Bible prophecies, there are layers of meaning in these words. The immediate sense of the prophecy in verses 14 to 17 is that a boy will be born during whose childhood Assyria will sweep down and bring disaster on the land. The next chapter tells how Isaiah marries a prophetess who gives birth to a son and gives him a prophetic name. And sure enough, Sennacherib's invasion of Judah followed in 701 BC. But we recognise these words because they're often read in traditional Christmas services of nine lessons and carols. And this is because St Matthew, in chapter 1 of his Gospel, quotes them as a prophecy of the birth of Jesus. Matthew tells the story of Mary's unexpected pregnancy from the point of view of her devastated fiancé, Joseph. He's planning to annul the engagement, but the angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Matthew continues, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Joseph did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage till she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Matthew doesn't spell out how the Virgin Mary's baby, Jesus, fulfills the prophecy of a baby called Emmanuel, God with us. It's St. John, in the prologue to his Gospel, who puts into words what God with us means. He speaks of Jesus as the Word, one with God from the beginning, who became flesh and dwelt among us. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, and his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. We sing this every Christmas in the carol Once in Royal David's City, and the words are so familiar that we probably don't think about what they mean. They don't just mean that Jesus was a special baby. They mean that those who met Jesus during his life on earth were literally experiencing God with them. Not all who met him believed his claim to be God, and that cost him his life. But all who responded to his teaching, felt his healing touch, and experienced his loving attention to their individual needs were having a one-to-one encounter with God. That was then. But what about now? Many people today acknowledge a rather vague sense of spirituality, but our faith has much more substance because it is founded in Emmanuel, God with us. Paul explains this in his letters to various groups of new Christians. He says such things as, "We don't regard Christ from a human viewpoint anymore. People who put their faith in him start a new life because it was through his death that God reconciled the world to himself. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Neither death nor life nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The author of the book of Hebrews says that because Jesus took on flesh and blood, he knows what it's like to be human. He suffered. He was tempted. He was rejected. He was homeless. He felt hunger. He cried. He died. So he can come alongside to help us in our times of need. One who comes alongside to help is one translation of the word Jesus used when he told his disciples about the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus lived a short life on earth, only 33 years, and only the last three of those as a travelling preacher and healer. Shortly before his arrest, crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus told his disciples that he would be leaving them and returning to the Father. But he assured them that they wouldn't be deserted or abandoned because he would send his Spirit to be with them forever. When this happened on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given not only for them, but for all the billions of followers of Jesus throughout the world ever since. For us, this is the reality of Emmanuel, God with us today. It may be that for some of you listening, this isn't yet a reality. If you want to know God with you in this personal way, you might like to pray in the words of this Christmas carol. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. If you have prayed that prayer and would like to talk more, please do get in touch with us in person or via the church website. But for those of us who are already followers of Jesus, however wonderful it is to have that personal relationship with him, that's not where it ends. St. Teresa of Avila said, "Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." As members of St. Andrew's and All Saints, we believe our call is to partner with God in the flourishing of our communities. So how are we going to be Christ to our families and friends, our neighbours, those we meet this Christmas, to enable them to experience that God is with them? One way is to tell as many people as possible about our Advent calendar of hope and the other Christmas events on the leaflet. Another is to contribute to Helen's Bags of Hope. Ask the Holy Spirit to prompt you to share the love of Jesus this Christmas. Wear the Hope in the Darkness badge and pray that people will ask you what it means and that you'll be given the words to explain. So, we've thought about standing firm in our faith in difficult circumstances, about how the coming of Jesus into our world as Emmanuel has given us living hope and the certainty of God with us, and about how we can share this. Let's be quiet and ask the Holy Spirit to tell us what he wants us to remember and act on from this talk.
Thank you.
We're going to continue in prayer. And just as you'll see, set up around the church still is our displays for our Friday prayers. And some of you watching online can see two behind me. And just it's a reminder that we continue to pray tomorrow, as we committed to, for four Fridays. And we're going to be open as a church from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, as once again we prepare for Christmas, help us to find time in our busy lives for quiet and thought and prayer, that we may reflect upon the wonder of your love and allow the story of your Saviour's birth to penetrate our hearts and minds. So may our joy be deeper, our worship more real, and our lives worthier of all that you have done for us through the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we pray particularly at this time for our community. We think of those who are isolated, those who are grieving, those whose businesses have had to shut down this past month and which are just beginning to open up today. We pray for those who are in financial needs, those who are sick. And we pray your blessing on our community and our town, Lord. May you particularly be Emmanuel, God, with those who are in most need. And I invite you in the quietness of your own heart to offer up prayers for particular individuals that God brings to mind now. We say, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for the church. We pray for the national church. We pray for the global church. We pray for those Christians in countries where there's persecution. We pray for churches worldwide as they prepare for a very different Christmas. We pray for our own church and the other churches in Malvern, that they would be bringers of hope and good news this Advent and Christmas season. We particularly pray for our leaflets as they get delivered in these next few days. Pray for those who are watching our Advent calendar of hope. Pray for those who will be preparing to journey around our nativity trail in the coming days. For those who will be booking into our Christmas services. We pray, Lord, that you would draw people, particularly those who don't yet know you, to come and seek you this Christmas. And I invite you, perhaps again, in the quietness of your own hearts, to think of any that you know who don't yet know the hope of Christmas and the hope that Jesus brings. And just pray for them now. And pray that you might even get a chance to invite them to something this Christmas. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for our world as our world continues to battle against coronavirus. We thank you for the news, encouraging news lately of vaccines about to be rolled out. And we pray for your guidance and your wisdom to those who are administrating that and those who continue to research. We pray for unity amongst the government nationally and locally as this is brought out. And we pray particularly for those in developing countries that they will not be forgotten as this vaccine comes to be. We pray that actually the wealthier nations will actually remember those less fortunate than them and will serve them and give to them at this time. We pray for our own health services in our local communities, for the hospitals, the doctors' surgeries, the nurses, the health workers. Would you be with them and protect them in these busy times? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, a prayer for ourselves. And I want to just share with you a slowing down prayer, which invites God to come at this Advent season and bring us his peace. And I invite you to echo it in your heart. Where I am fearful, eternal Father, help me regain your calm. Where I am rushing, eternal Father, guide me to your unhurried pace. Where I am restless, eternal God, help me to know your patience. Where I am anxious, eternal God, may I breathe in your peace. Holy Spirit, fill me with your rest. Holy Spirit, fill me with your quiet. Holy Spirit, fill me. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And though we are masked and separated, we can still share God's peace with each other. So Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you." Do wave, do acknowledge each other, and socially distance peace. And we come to gather around the Lord's table, able to take a small bit of wine today to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night that he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. Emmanuel, God with us. And as we drink and eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the words, and I shall be healed. So draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. So, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Just before we say the final few words, just want to really reiterate what some of what Heather has said already. Our Christmas leaflets are being delivered this week to half of Malvern. Do grab some spare ones if you want to. They're in the church on the way out. And they give all the details of our services, some of which are online and are just easy to access. Our in-service, in-person services will all be needed to be booked into, and bookings for those will open up on the 10th of December. Other than the Zoom services, Christingle and Messy Christmas, which are open already via our websites. Do log into the Advent Calendar of Hope as we continue throughout December. And it's been lovely to see several of you wearing your badges, your Hope in the Darkness badges. If you haven't got one, do grab one on the way out, and some business cards here that we can give out to anyone who might ask us. And just pray for opportunities as you wear your badge to share something of the good news of Christmas and to invite people to connect up with us over Christmas too. And the Nativity Trail is the other exciting thing that we're going to be just launching a promotional video this week. That's going to be open from next weekend. where we're going to start with an amazing display. I've heard, I haven't seen it yet, of the angel Gabriel visiting Mary, which is going to be in the grounds of All Saints. We're then going to journey via several houses, including the Gibson's house, where there's going to be lots of sheep and an angel guarding the sheep, all the way to some wise men in the vicarage garden, all the way to the stable here, where there's the chance to have a selfie nativity. So if you want to get dressed up in your nativity outfit and come and bring your family and your household and your bubble to have a selfie nativity photo here, you can do. And at each stage, there's going to be a little video of the story, of that bit of the story. And a certain wise man who's sitting here in the service here is just about to record his video too. So not to be missed. I've seen some of the videos already and they're great. And again, do spread the word about our nativity trail. We can't have crib services and our normal nativity play this year, but we're doing something different, which I hope will really engage even more people. So pray for that. And of course, the last thing is Helen's bags of hope, isn't it? And just to say, I'm going to have someone in the car park here at St Andrews between 2 and 4 this Sunday and next Sunday as a particular time that you can come and drop off things for the bags. And do invite your neighbours, your community to contribute too. We've put a video out for our community this week, just inviting them to come and be part of this. And if there's anyone that you know who you think actually they would really appreciate a bag of hope this Christmas because they're having a tough time in our community, then drop Helen an email on that. So finally, let's say these final words as we go out from here. In our watching and our waiting, come, Lord Jesus. In our hopes and our fears, come, Lord Jesus. In our homes and in our world, come, Lord Jesus. Come, bless us and surprise us, and send us out to live each day for you. Amen.